Tonight, how to read and study the scriptures. And this is going to be particularly leading up towards that which is being able to identify spiritual gift. So tonight we want to just start by reading two verses of the scripture, and we're going to refer once again to a number of scriptures as we go along. But I kind of want to put out a bit of a disclaimer at the beginning that this is more going to be pointers this evening. This is such a comprehensive subject. I'm going to bring my brothers in to help me as we progress through this subject. But it's such a comprehensive subject. Reading and studying the scripture is a lifetime occupation. So if we can just give some helpful tips and some pointers, steer you in the right direction and glean some help ourselves along the way too, then that will be a blessing. So let's take up the scriptures and read 1 Timothy and chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we will read from verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, it's love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now come to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself, or present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, they are our two readings for this evening, and they will kind of be the two foundational base texts for that which we desire to speak on this evening. Now, this is a very appropriate subject, of course. We're at the time of the year when many of you are busy with school or secular studies, university studies, whatever they may be, preparing to take exams. If not, some of you are already in the throes, in the midst of taking exams. I don't envy you, by the way. There you are, working hard, studying hard, diligent to gain the best marks possible. Why do you do this? Well, the simple answer to that is because you are preparing for the future. You're preparing for your life that is ahead of you. And you diligently apply yourself to get the highest mark possible, to give yourself the best potential opportunities that may lie ahead of you along life's journey. And I'm very thankful this evening that you're diligent with your studies. So you should be as a Christian, and God will bless you. He will honor those who honor him, and he will bless you as you apply diligence to the things of your secular life. But what we must state from the outset is that if we are willing to put diligent effort and earnest and serious study into things of time and sense, how much more so should we apply ourselves to spiritual matters, things that are for eternity, the real things? Just remember which world you are building for. If you build just for this world, it will pass away. But if you build for the world to come, and you apply yourselves to spiritual diligent study, and you have an understanding of the Word of God, and we're not asking that everyone this evening is going to be teachers or preachers, but you yourself personally, as a Christian, for every Christian is expected by God to make diligent study and have a love for his word. And so we want you to be someone who goes in for the word of God, who spends time over it, And what I want to state at this point is that what I find, generally speaking, is that individuals who spend time in the Word of God are not usually individuals that go quickly astray. You must apply yourself to the reading of the Scriptures. And the more you read the Scriptures, the more confidence you will have in your God, the more you will get to know God, for this is how you get to know God. You only have to read Psalm 119, and I would encourage every person on this call to go back and read that rather lengthy psalm. It will take some time, but read it, and you will read such verses like this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. You will read again in Psalm 119 and verse number 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And the whole desire of that psalmist was that he would understand the way of God. And he says again in verse number 27, as I went through this psalm and just picked out a few of these highlighted verses or statements, he says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Listen, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more you will want to speak about it, the more you'll want to learn from it, the more you'll grow. The Word of God will strengthen you. It is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. It doesn't only illuminate what is right before you, but it causes you to see the full picture, to see into the distance and glimpse the future. The power of the Word of God, it is living. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce to the very inwards of our beings. It is like marrow to our bones, says the psalmist. It builds us up and strengthens us. And the psalmist would tell us that the entrance of thy words gives light. And listen, what impressed me about Psalm 119, verse 130 was this. It says this, it gives understanding to the simple. Now, I'm very glad it gives understanding to the simple, because that gives me an opportunity in life to understand the Word of God. The Word of God will strengthen you in times of distress and trouble. And we've been thinking about that, of course, in recent studies. And what I would encourage you to do when you read Psalm 119 is look at the distress of the writer from verses 134 to 158, particularly. He speaks about oppression and weeping and anguish and being despised, and how he didn't want to wake up in the morning even, and how he was afflicted and grieved, etc., persecuted. But every time he mentions one of those negative words, he follows it up with a statement of how the Word of God was the answer. And brothers and sisters, I could not reiterate this enough or more clearly this evening. It is essential for Christians to read the Word of God. How do you develop a love for reading the Word of God? Well, what I was taught in my life, early in my Christian life, and I'm very thankful for this piece of information I got, was that what I feed the most will grow the most. If I feed the flesh, it will grow. If I feed on the secular things of the world, my interest in those things will grow. If I take an interest in the politics of this world, I take an interest in the sports of this world, I take an interest in the studies, the secular studies of this world, the science, or whatever it may be, my interest in those things will grow. I know that myself. But if what I feed on the most will grow the most, and I'm reading the Scriptures diligently, and I have a devotion to a daily disciplined reading of the Word of God, my love for the Word of God will develop. Your love for the Word of God will develop. And the more time you invest in reading the Bible, the more God will reward you with an understanding. I want to say this too. I remember sitting in a meeting here in Australia, and a traveling preacher had come from the other side of the world. And I was in my 30s at that stage. I got saved when I was 25 years old. Some of you, if not most of you, would know that. But I was in my 30s at this stage, and I remember the preacher, he boomed this from the platform. He said, "If you haven't learnt the word of God in your 20s, there's no hope for you." Now, that may have been a bit extreme, but I just felt I need to get started on the word of God. I need to have an understanding. I need to have a disciplined approach to reading the word of God. And brothers and sisters, you need to learn the word of God while you're young. There are many people on this call, some who I can see nodding in agreement, and who would tell you that as they progress in life and the years advance, it becomes harder to retain things, to drink it in, to learn it, to saturate your soul while you're young in the word of God. You can't do it enough. When we come to this scripture that we've read as our base text for the personal reading of the word of God, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." I think the primary understanding that Paul was communicating to Timothy was the public reading of the word of God. But what I want you to see here this evening is that I'm going to apply it to us personally. Till I come, would it be too inappropriate if I was to apply that for the Lord's coming? Now, Timothy didn't know when Paul would arrive, if he would arrive, but we know the Lord's coming, but we don't know when. And brothers and sisters, let us be found in this waiting period, giving attendance to reading, being devoted in our personal reading of the scriptures. Now I must rush on in relation to these things. There is a blessing in the daily, diligent reading of the scriptures. And what I would encourage you to do is find an appropriate time and find an appropriate place for reading the scriptures. It says of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah chapter 50 in verse number 4, that he would rise morning by morning to hear the word of God. And through the scriptures, we hear the voice of God. We're not going to hear the voice of God audibly. We hear the voice of God through the word of God. And I'm very thankful that as we progress reading through the Bible diligently, we can hear the voice of God. Now, we're to look for Christ in all the scriptures. What I would say at this point is, in your personal reading, don't rush through the scriptures. The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Now, you may have a reading plan that gets you through the Bible in a year. I wouldn't despise that for a moment. You know what suits you best. But if you're struggling with that, don't feel like you have to get through the Bible within a year or 6 months or whenever it may be. I was reading recently about D.L. Moody, who had a reading plan, and he would try to read through the scriptures in a short amount of time. But he gave up. He realized that rushing through reading, he would get to the end of the day or halfway through the day, and he said someone would ask him what he read that day, and he couldn't even remember. So what I would say to you is, don't rush the reading of the scripture. Read slowly enough for you to be able to retain what you read. This morning, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 5 with my wife. I have my personal reading. I'm going to come to the spouse in a moment. But reading through the scriptures and slow enough to be able to retain what we read and meditate on it through the day. Now, just at this point, before I move on to my next segment, is there anything that Brian or Williams or Phil would like to say in the personal reading of the scriptures? Any tips or helps or verses?
Well, just very briefly, I think that it's very important what you are saying, Clive, the importance of reading the Bible slowly, taking time to pay attention to it. I will say that in my personal experience, it has been very useful to get something to underline key words of key expressions to try to look at them later very carefully and trying to notice those words who are repeated several times in the same passage that later might lead you to something even more important. So reading carefully, reading slowly, taking notice of the important words and the important phrases in the scriptures. That's what I want to say.
Very good. What I want to say is, not only is it important to read personally in your life, to read through the scriptures, find a place, find a time where you can read through the scriptures in a disciplined, devoted way. But what I would say this evening is I want to encourage every married couple on this platform tonight to read the scriptures together. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, and I would like you to go there, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, this is how it reads. It reads, "Husbands, love your wives." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, what was one way? Well, no, here he gave himself for it. We can go back to the cross of Calvary for this, of course. But listen to verse 26, "that he might sanctify it." He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, if husbands are to love their wives in the same manner, it's important for me to understand here that it's being communicated to me that I must read the word of God with my spouse. It will mean sacrifice. It will mean taking time to do that. It will have a sanctifying effect. And it tells us in verse 27 that one day the effect of that will be made known in the future beyond the judgment seat of Christ. And what I want to say is that reading the scriptures with your spouse will not only have a sanctifying effect for the present, but it will come out at the judgment seat of Christ, and it will be to your blessing. Is there anything that you wanted to say, brothers, in relation to reading the scriptures with your spouse?
I'd just like to endorse what you've said, Clive, that it is of, it's something that binds together when you are reading together, and it is good to have that common basis day by day as you move through, and to not only read together, but share your thoughts together and to talk about the Word of God together. It has a tremendous uniting and binding effect.
Amen. Did you want to say anything, Phil?
Not specifically about that, Clive, but maybe this is a good point for me just to bring a quotation to people's attention. I really like this quote. It's been a help to me, and I've passed it on to many people in the course of the last few years. It's a quote that comes from the cover of the inside cover of the Coverdale Bible. Miles Coverdale was the first person to translate the Bible into English. And the quotation reads like this: "It will greatly help you to understand Scripture if you mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom, to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goes before and what follows." And my summary of that is: examine the text, examine the players, examine the time, the circumstances, the intent, and the setting. And for personal study or Bible reading or reading with your spouse or whatever the circumstance may be, I think that advice would help us all in understanding the Bible.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. So, personal reading. Look for Christ. Find a place. Be disciplined with a time. But there's not only personal reading and reading with your spouse, but there's the reading of the scriptures together as a family. And I was brought to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think we can take this scripture and apply it to ourselves today. It's speaking, of course, to the nation of Israel. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That's the first principle. As fathers or parents, mothers, whoever it is, reading with our children, the word of God must be in our hearts. And it says this, "And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children." That's with conviction. Actually, the word is to pierce, to bring conviction to the person listening. "And to talk, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down and risest up." So we see here that there is not only the diligent, disciplined, daily reading to take place, but it's good, as Brian has mentioned, to talk about it, to rehearse it. Talk about it when you sit in your house. Take time to discuss and maybe ask questions. And when you walk in the way, in the general course of life, or on a daily basis, lying down and waking up, let the word of God be read. So the word of God, to be read personally, to be read with the spouse, to be read in the family. What a blessing. Don't forget, and I just want to put this in because this really is the primary understanding, I guess, of that verse in 1 Timothy. The public reading of the scriptures is so important. The public reading of the scriptures. The Lord Jesus upheld this principle in the synagogue. The Apostle Paul upheld this principle when he encouraged the saints in Thessalonica that the epistle would be read by all the holy brethren. He says it again to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 4, "Whereby when ye," that's ye plural, "when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And you would find time and again the public reading of the scriptures and the importance of it. But I want to finish this little segment of personal reading with a quotation from D.L. Moody. I found this very helpful. And it's just a little rhyming quotation, just four words, actually. And he says this: "When you read the scriptures, first admit that you need help from God to understand. Admit that you need this for your daily preservation. Admit that you don't understand." He says, admit. Then he says, submit. Submit to what you read. If you read something and it cuts right across what either you've been practicing, or it cuts across or gives you correction or guides you in another path, just submit to what you read. Then he says, commit. Commit it to your memory. Commit these things to your life. Apply them in your life. And finally, he says, transmit. Tell others. Pass it on. Admit. Submit. Commit. And transmit. I thought that was good advice in the reading of the scriptures. When we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we read, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." brothers and sisters, there's not only the diligent and daily reading of the scriptures, but there must also be the serious and systematic and contextual study of the Word of God. I was very, very happy to receive an email from a sister recently, a sister who is older than myself, who stated in that email of the importance of every Christian spending time in the Word of God. Sisters, you must study the Word of God. This is not just something for the brothers to be engaged in. And brothers, this is not just something for the teachers to be engaged in. Just as God has fitted you, and just as God has given you some intellectual ability, for he's given us varying degrees of intellectual ability, but just as God has fitted us, and just as God has given us understanding, we must engage ourselves in the study of the Word of God. Study. The word is to endeavor, hurry. There's not much time. Put earnest diligence into this. Put effort into it. You know, I think of how much effort we put into secular things. How much effort you, dear brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters, are putting into your studies. And I commend you for that. But let me really challenge myself. Do I put more effort into the things of God? I remember asking men in my life, men who to me are outstanding teachers, but who worked secularly. And I remember asking them, how did you get this from the Word of God? Like, where did you find the time? I remember one brother told me, he said, well, the advice he was given when he was a young man, he said, an older brother gave him some advice, just study for 2 hours a day. Find 2 hours in your day to study, systematically study the Word of God. Another brother who was a doctor here in Australia, with many appointments and many engagements in life and his secular work, he told me that he said, well, Clive, I would just study in my lunch hour and put effort in when I could after work. Another man who was a professor in a university, he told me too of times burning the midnight oil or the midnight lamp, spending time with the Word of God, study to show thyself. That really has the thought of standing alongside or presenting your work approved under God. Now, brothers and sisters, one day we're going to be assessed on exactly what we have what we've done with the scriptures and the time we've spent. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I thought of the judgment seat of Christ. But it also has an effect on my life now, rightly dividing the word of truth, holding a straight course, cutting in a straight line. Yes, we could possibly understand it also in rightly dividing the Word of God, understanding the Word of God contextually. It's very, very important that we understand the Word of God contextually, dispensationally, looking at the great program of God and seeing where I fit in right now in this church age, looking at the distinctions in the dispensations, looking at the distinctions in subjects like the resurrection. There's not just one general resurrection. I understand when I come to that study that it's distinct and there are stages to the first resurrection, etc. So it's a diligent study of the Word of God. Now, just before I go any further, is there anything that you brothers want to say in relation to that?
I'll just commend Clive in support of what you've said. I want to just back up what you said about our dear sisters. It's a wonderful joy to be able to speak to sisters about the Word of God, and they understand the Word of God and they comprehend it. And if you go along to a Bible reading or Bible study, make sure you study before you go. And you're going to have to do what Clive has said, look at it in its context and systematically and so on. There's 161 people on this call. If every last one of us studied before we went to a Bible study or a Bible reading, it would be transformative. I can guarantee you that. And there's it can be a little sad if you see that that isn't the case. And I would encourage the sisters, because yours isn't a public role. But as you understand the Word of God, you will enjoy so much more all the various teaching and the public reading and the study that is involved. So I would really like to encourage our dear sisters in that. And I love the devotion of our sisters is seen in conversation with them. So just really, Clive, to back up what you've said.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for that encouragement. And one word that I want to pick up on in this verse that we didn't mention is a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The word workman is to be a laborer, a hard worker. It takes effort and time. Now, a brother once said this to me, and he was a brother who was not only an elder in an assembly and a traveling teacher of the Word of God, but he held a very, very high secular job, and he was actually a professor in a university. But he said this to me on one occasion: there are 24 hours in a day, and they can be split into three eights. So you have 8 hours to sleep, you have 8 hours to work, generally speaking, 8 hours to sleep, 8 hours to work, and 8 hours to what? Now that's challenging. I think it's very easy to pass 2 hours on Facebook. And I think if we're truly honest this evening, you would agree with me, wouldn't you? It's very easy to pass a couple of hours on social media. But what about spending 2 hours in the Word of God? The blessing. It's hard work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, a laborer. But listen, we will never be ashamed. We will never stand disappointed as a result. But we possibly could stand disappointed if we do not study the Word of God. And as Brian has said, it will transform our Bible readings and our meetings. Now, understand context is the key. And as you go into studying the scriptures, I would just like to give you possibly a few helpful tips. Start with a small book. If you're a young brother or sister and you want to study something, you know, there are plenty of things you could study. You could study characters. You could study a subject. You could study people and places. You can study the person of Christ in particular, his deity, his sinless perfection, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. There is so much. First of all, look for Christ in all the scriptures. But when it came to studying some serious study of the Word of God, the encouragement I was given as a young Christian was to take a relatively short book of the Bible and read it 10 times. Just read it 10 times. Doesn't take long to read. The six chapters of 1 Timothy, that was the first book I ever studied as a new Christian. And I read through that book 10 times. And then the brother who was my spiritual mentor, John De Silva, as many of you will know, he encouraged me to, once I've read it through, just write down some thoughts in relation to the theme of the book, or the overall message, the overarching message that the writer is trying to communicate, just so I get a bird's eye view, a perspective of what's going on. Don't launch into the study of words and verses immediately. Get a perspective. Then maybe read the first chapter 10 times. and possibly break that chapter down as it seems. Chapters generally seem to break down themselves. You don't have to try too hard to break up chapters and put headings over them. And if you want to use alliterations. They're very helpful in my life, and they have been very helpful to me when I've listened to other brothers, because I can go away and think of, I can remember the alliterations that have been used, and I've found them very helpful to me. So break down the chapter, look at the chapter, break it down into sections, put headings over those sections as you see fit. Then look at the verses of those sections. And lastly, go into the words. But I want to give you a tip here. You must understand the difference between exegesis and exposition. And brothers and sisters, and maybe I speak now particularly for those who communicate the word of God. The difference between exegesis and exposition, and I remember reading this one day in a book that I've got on my shelf here, and it's been a very helpful book to me. The difference between exegesis and exposition is this. Exegesis is, of course, the detailed study of the scriptures. I go in and I look, get a word study, and I find the Bible dictionaries and other helps and commentaries and things, and I can do a detailed study of those scriptures, breaking down the book, breaking up the chapters, looking at the sections, looking at how the verses, how there's the construct of sentences, etc., and looking at the words. There is the exegesis that's going on in the study. But the exposition is to be accomplished on the platform. And the book that I have on my shelf here gave this illustration. It's like making a cake. If a dear sister or brother was to make a cake, and they came to you with all these ingredients that they put into the cake, and they said, look, you just take a spoonful of all those ingredients and you have a mouthful of that, it would taste awful. But you mix those ingredients together and you bake it in the oven and you give someone a slice. It's delicious. When you are presenting in the assembly or publicly, don't give people the exegesis. The words, the prepositions, the nouns, the adverbs, the tenses, and all mixed up, and people take a mouthful and it just tastes horrible. Give them the result of that. The whole purpose in the study of the Word of God, especially in communicating that study, is to give someone understanding, or to receive understanding ourselves. If we're all tied up in knots and tenses and prepositions, we can't understand a thing, we failed in our mission in studying. What we must do is study to have an understanding of the Word of God, to rightly divide it, have an effect in our lives. And then especially as we come to the platform, we must not give the people the ingredients, but give them something that is they're able to put it into shoe leather. So may God help us with that. Now, do you brothers have anything to say before we close that this particular? And we'll pick it up again next week as we move on into identifying our spiritual gift. But do you have anything you want to say, brothers?
I might throw something in if I can, Clive. A big subject, so I can only just touch it, but whilst the study habits that we acquire in school and university and what have you are good habits, and you can bring them to bear helpfully in a consistent and consecutive study of the Word of God, there's something that needs to be distinguished here, and that is when we come to the Word of God, we have a personalized master teacher, which is the Holy Spirit. And we can look to him, and we must look to him, in fact, to illuminate the treasures that are on the pages of Scripture, because normal intellectual processes that we use when we're studying maths and English and what have you must be put aside to an extent and we must allow the Spirit of God to illuminate, to teach, to guide us into all truth. And if we come to the scriptures thinking that self-effort and good study habits will suffice, then we will fail. But if we come to the Holy Scriptures dependent upon the scripture, the Spirit of God to help us as we apply good study habits, then we will be led into that truth. And I think just grasping that reality that the Spirit of God is the essential teacher in scriptural things is something that every Christian would do well to learn early in life.
Thank you, Phil. That's a exceedingly important point. And we've just been speaking about this recently. When we come to the study of the Word of God, when we come to spiritual things, we must differentiate between the secular and the spiritual and understand that we need the Spirit of God to guide us. I noticed recently, and I will mention no names, but it was far away from this country, I noticed that there was something put out in relation to advice on spiritual matters. And the advice had been given in relation to matters to do with assembly, to do with the assembly, to do with the gatherings of the local church. And the advice was given, and very prominent alongside the names of the brothers was, I don't know, whatever letters they were, MA, BA, something A, and everything else, and Dr. So-and-so. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to spiritual things, whether I'm a doctor or a teacher, secular teacher, or I have numbers and letters after my name, I'm very thankful that God is able to take up the least esteem in the church to deal with matters. May God help us to understand that.